It is the Joe Starkey Show, but I am Donnie Football filling in for Joe. Joe's voice a little bit shot at the end of this week, so another, well, less than an hour with me, Austin Bechtold, behind the glass. We are now joined by Pirates broadcaster and former Pirates pitcher Bob Walk, brought to you by Allegiant Federal Credit Union. Shape your future. Visit AllegiantFCU.org. Bob is also brought to you by Gutter Helmet. Make clogged gutters a thing of the past with Gutter Helmet. Call 888-5-HELMET. Bob, a series this weekend for the Buccos against the Kansas City Royals. Kansas City, a team that last season was not good, but they invested in some pieces in the offseason, and now they are primed for a playoff run. They have currently about a 96% chance to make the postseason out of the American League. They are 80-67, second behind Cleveland in the American League Central. What is it that the Pirates can do to mimic a team like Kansas City going into 2025?
Well, basically, it's just the same thing that Kansas City has done. And there's always a couple of organizations that, you know, people look at as, okay, small market, and then they realize they have some young pieces in it that they might not have for a long time in place, and so they add to it to make a push and try to get into the postseason tournament. You know, once you're one of those teams, that's playing in October, well, anybody can get hot and win a championship. So that's the key thing, to get to where you can do that. It looked, that was going to be a possibility just before the trading deadline. I mean, we were right there. It looked like, we were going to be the same position that Kansas City is in right now. But things went south. There was a number of reasons. The main thing is our bullpen just kind of fell apart for a while, and we started losing quite a few games we should have won. But as far as, the offseason and what they need to do, I think you got to look at the best thing that's happened this year is they've built a starting rotation that's looking really strong going into next year. You look at what we have in the rotation right now, figure we'll probably go to a traditional five-man rotation. So you have your best pitchers going out there every 5 days, which increases your chances, obviously, to win every night. And then you're going to probably have some depth there. You got a couple of young guys that are looking pretty good. You got Oviedo, who a year before was, considered one of our top two pitchers. Hopefully he'll be back in spring training and pitching like he did before he got hurt. So the prospects for our starting rotation look very good, and we need to look and say, okay, well, where did we fall down at? We could have done better, especially early on with our offense. Of late, the offense is not too bad. In fact, you look at the lineup on certain nights, you got some guys in that lineup that it makes that lineup fairly long. Got some depth to it, to where there's not a lot of spots where the opposing pitcher can say, okay, well, I got a rest area this inning. I think we've gotten away from that, and one or two additions from having maybe one of the better offenses. You think about what Cruz has done this year and having him in there, full-time next season. You might be looking at 100 RBIs, 25 to 30 home runs next season for that spot in the lineup. I think that the bullpen needs a hard look at it. It's the same situation with every bullpen every year on every team. You need to make adjustments and things need to be remade. There's always a big turnover in the bullpen. Very few guys down there, once you get past a closer, is ever on a long-term contract. So you got a lot of turnover. So I think that's the challenge. I think one of the challenges for the offseason is to put together a bullpen that'll be a little bit more consistent than the guys were this year. Obviously, that's easier said than done. In April, or spring training, I think you or any of us would have said, hey, the bullpen looks like it might be a strength this year. But it turned out it wasn't.
Would you bring Aroldis Chapman back, or do you think for the likely price tag of a guy going into his age 37 season in 2025, probably not worth it?
Well, I don't know what the price tag's going to be. I know it was rather high this year. I think $10 million.
Yeah, 1 year, $10
million. Right. That's a lot of money for a guy that's not your closer. So it depends on, you know, what other pieces fit together. I mean, how much money do they have to spend to maybe get another really good bat, a bigger bat, if you can do that. You know, that there's some other things that, you know, have to be figured out, I think, before you figure out exactly how much money you can pour into that that bullpen. The bullpen is important, but usually you can find some deals in a bullpen. Getting a middle-of-the-lineup type hitter, those are a little expensive. So that's probably where the most money would be spent, if they can find somebody like that. That's a big if also.
When it comes to starting pitchers and maybe some new faces we could see in 2025, have you looked into any of Bubba Chandler's work in AAA so far?
Well, yeah, I said they got a couple of young guys down there. He's the main one that you would think would be, you know, one of those May, June call-ups next season. You know, wait until you get past whatever day it is to where, that's always a big discussion when you're going to bring up those guys. But yeah, if there's a spot for him, I mean, right now, if you do go to a 5-man rotation and everybody is healthy for next year, there might not even be a spot for him. But I expect him to be in spring training and have kind of an outside shot at going north with the team, a lot like we saw with Jared Jones this year. But if all these guys are stay healthy, we can get through the off season without getting anybody hurt. There's going to be a nice starting rotation bunch. There's going to be a few of them that don't make the team or are going to have to go down and pitch in AAA to stay ready. That's going to be a disappointment for some of those guys, but that's just the way it is. You can't, you can't have all the starters on the team. Some of them have to go down to AAA and keep pitching so that they're ready when they're needed. But that looks like it's going to be the situation. And you're also, it happens every year, every single year, you always bring in a couple of veterans that, coming off injury, coming off a down year, maybe they're getting a little older and the previous team thinks they need to move on. And you always pick up a couple of those guys, hoping that they have something left in the tank. I mean, I think the best, most positive example of that was, of course, going about a decade ago now, where, we picked up Liriano and A.J. Burnett.
Mm-hmm.
And, those guys had 5-something ERAs the year before, but then they pitched fantastic for us. So you're always hoping you run into one or two of those guys if you can find them. And so there will be, also a couple of veterans that are were somewhere else this year, probably looking to crack into our starting rotation next spring.
Talking to Pirates broadcaster Bob Walk on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Bob, when it comes to Andrew McCutchen, he has certainly expressed his interest in staying in Pittsburgh, finishing his career in Pittsburgh. And in his age 37 season, he made a little bit of history earlier this week. Just the second player besides Willie Stargell to have 8 seasons with the Buccos of 20 or more home runs. I think it's an easy decision. I'm wondering where you come down on it when it comes to bringing Andrew McCutchen back. I think it's a very easy yes. He continues to be one of their most productive offensive players.
Oh, he certainly does. I agree with that. I think it's if you're going to have the DH as another position, like a right fielder or center fielder or shortstop or first baseman, if you're going to look at the DH position like that, when I played, that's how most of the American League teams looked at it. They had a DH that usually was an offensive force that was somewhere in the middle part of the lineup, and that was his position. If the Pirates are going to look at the DH like that, which is kind of how they did this year, I think, pretty obvious, then yeah, that yeah, you bring him back. And also, I mean, they're going to have to figure out the money thing. I mean, how much? I mean, he had a really good year this year, so you know, he may be looking at getting a decent raise also. So I mean, that's going to have to be talked about. The only thing that I will say is that nowadays teams haven't really looked at that DH spot as a position. They look at it as more of a place where they can, you know, move guys in and out every week, give somebody a rest one day, you know, play the matchup game with whoever their starting pitcher is that day. And the Pirates were doing that for a while too before Kutch came back and pretty much took over that as an everyday job. So as long as they look at the DH as an everyday position, then I agree with you. Yeah, he's got to come back because he wants to come back. He probably will play here cheaper than he'll play anywhere else, I would think. I'll go with you on that. If the Pirates decide that that's not the way they're going to handle that DH spot, then that changes the decision-making progress a little bit. So that would be the only thing I would wonder about is how they look at that position on the field and what they want to do with it next year.
How well do you think O'Neill Cruz has transitioned and acclimated to playing center field?
I'm not real impressed with his throwing. I like the way he covers ground. That's been the most impressive thing. He makes going side to side and in look very easy. You know that he hasn't made, you know, really good throws from the outfield. And if I want to nitpick a little bit, I think there's been some times where he needs to communicate better with his other outfielders on balls that are in the gaps. You know, that's extremely important for a center fielder to be very aggressive and very vocal. And that's his position out there. He's the leader. He's the man. He's got to let those guys know loud and clear, get out of my way, I'm catching this ball. A couple of times I think there's been a little misunderstandings out there, but that will, I would guess, will come with more experience out there. But the throwing stuff, he needs to become more accurate. He's got such a great arm as far as arm strength. If he can get a little more accurate with that, and I mean, well, in some throws, a lot more accurate. I mean, he's missed his spot a few times, you know, by 15, 20 feet wide. He's got to get better. You know, I think that probably comes with some better mechanics. Mechanics in the outfield are different than in the infield, you know, where you can, you know, half the time you're throwing off your back foot. The outfield, you really have to get that momentum flowing forward as you're fielding the ball, momentum going right toward the target. That I think he needs to maybe work on that a little bit. But the raw ability is, of course, off the chart there, just like it was at shortstop. And I think that speed and his agility even shows up more in center field than it does in the infield.
Are you glad they got out ahead of this and did it now instead of just making it an off-season project? So it's like he goes into the off-season already knowing the plan?
I think that when it happened, I went on record saying that I was surprised that they made the decision when they did. I thought that they were going to wait till the end. But if you've already made the decision, to me it's silly to let him play out the year at shortstop if you're going to move him next spring. You know, they say, well, he never played out there before. I don't care. Get him out there and let him start playing. I thought that was a great move. Once they made the decision, you got to get him out there, play him every day, and get him as much experience as you can at being a center fielder, making his mistakes now instead of next April.
There we go. Pirates broadcaster Bob Walk. Bob, thanks for taking the time. Have fun this weekend.
It was a pleasure. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
There we go. Bob Walk, you can hear him on the Buccos broadcasts all season long. Only a couple of weeks left in the baseball season.